This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me today. It is a delight to pray with you. I'm going to pray for your safety. I don't know whether you're traveling or you're going to be out and about. So often on Independence Day weekend, there's always, you know, you hear about firework accidents or other problems. So let's ask God to protect those that we love, in particular for you. And let's pray today. I want to lift up this chaplet in particular. I'll take your calls, of course, and get you on the air with me. But I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray that God will continue to bless and protect it from enemies external and within. I want to ask God to give our citizenry the grace of conversion, that those who have been given, you know, high office, we won't squander the gift of that, and will enact laws and legislation and will rule with wisdom and with virtue. Let's pray for truth. Let's pray for religious liberty. Let's pray for freedom. Let's pray for the conversion of our citizenry. I also want to pray for those who've gone before us, those who've died, that we may enjoy the great liberties and freedoms that we have as Americans. And let's pray for those who serve now, those who protect. Let's pray for those in office. And let's pray for your needs, your wants, your intentions. I'm joined today by Patrick Alog. He's going to be praying with us. And Patrick, thanks for joining us. Anything you want to lift up as we begin our chaplet?
Absolutely, Drew. I'd like to pray for all those who are getting ordained to the priesthood, diaconate, right, and also the religious life as well in terms of their vocations as well.
Great prayer. And Jake, I know you said you had a few personal intentions, so you went to lift up.
That's right. Yeah. These aren't from Twitter. These are actually from some associates here at Relevant Radio. One of our associates, she has a family member named Donald McCarthy, and he was admitted to the hospital, unfortunately, and the doctors at this point are saying that he is unlikely to survive. So we're praying for whatever God's will is, but ultimately for peace in the family during this time. And also we're praying for Marie and Alan. They are really in need of a miracle with their marriage right now. They're struggling with addictions like pornography, and I think we need to pray for every marriage going through that. Georgia is a young woman who is emotionally troubled, and she's really self-isolated herself. So we're praying for a miracle for her, and also for Gino, for a miracle according to God's will. So these are intentions we're lifting up today at the start of the chaplet.
All right, perfect, Jake. Thank you. You know, last night I was sitting down, and as I was reading some American history, and as I was going through the show email, I responded to a few people who wrote so many heavy crosses out there, and I want to let everyone know, I read your emails every day. Can't always write back. We just get swamped with so many emails, but I love seeing them. If I had to write back to everyone, I would never be able to be on the air with you. But I do sometimes take time. It was late at night. I fired off a couple quick emails to a few people, and I want to share just a couple emails that are coming in here. This person's asked me to pray for a young girl named Peyton, I believe. 16 years old, was in a car accident, and she's now paralyzed from the neck down. She lives in Toma, Wisconsin, and just a great person, loved by many. So they're asking for a miraculous healing for this girl, that one day she'll walk. Another person is saying, I've been experiencing a lot of spiritual warfare concerning my extended family. Please pray for me. We'll do that. Another person is saying, could you pray for Judy? She's actively dying of cancer. She's been battling lung cancer for 3 years. It's spread to her brain, where they found 22 lesions. She's been moved into hospice home care. Any miracle the Lord will grant her, especially for a peaceful death. I'm deeply saddened, as she has been doing well holding her own, but she's been declining rapidly in recent weeks. So I said we do this. And one more quickly here, and then we'll go take your calls. Drew, please pray for a nephew-in-law who just revealed that he's addicted to alcohol, pornography, and recently went to a massage parlor. It's worse than what we were told. He's married to my niece and has two beautiful children. They're not Catholic, but they are in need of God's mercy. Also pray for our youngest daughter who has OCD and is struggling. She's beautiful. Ask God to heal her. And others asking for employment and so many other intentions here. So, and one other woman, she said this to me, Drew, please pray for my mother. Her mother, she says, can you pray for her one last time? Her mother has just passed away, and she had been praying for her for a long time. So we'll certainly pray for the soul of your mother, Bianca. So thank you for, or Blanca is her name. So we'll do that. Let's pray for you now. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take your calls. I'll try to get as many on as I possibly can. And again, know your intentions are prayed for. You can put them at Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Jake will share those coming up in just a moment or two here. And you can always email us. And do me one other favor, too. Tell others about the chaplet. It's been put on my heart recently. Let's spread the message of God's mercy. We're rewarded for doing that. I know a lot of graces are going to fly. Courtney is listening and praying with us in Minnesota. Hi, Courtney. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey. How can we pray for you, Courtney?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. We would like to ask for prayers for our grandma, Marilyn.
Okay. Great. Anything in particular or just to pray for her health?
Yes, we would like for her, we would like to pray for peace with her. She has some struggles with medical conditions right now, and we would like for her to just have peace with what she has coming up.
All right. Well, let's pray for that right now. I'm glad you got through, Courtney. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Now, we pray for her grandmother, Marilyn. And we pray for whatever procedures that she has coming up. You know, as we get older so often, you know, the elderly are dependent on others, and that's difficulty. So often health fails. So often there's a lot of very difficult decisions and surgeries, and reactions to medication. But I just give you all those. I give you those who are ailing, those who are aging, those who are dependent upon others. And I just ask for the spirit of peace to fill their heart, that their mind may be illuminated with great wisdom in terms of what they're to do, that those who provide care may have tremendous mercy and compassion. And I pray for their intentions particularly now. And I just ask you to embrace these souls with your great love. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Annabelle is listening in Austin, Texas. Annabelle, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm trying to.
Right.
But the reason why I'm calling is because I need intentions for my family members.
Sure.
And my prayer intentions are like for my husband, Robert, who is recovering from heart surgery. He had a valve repaired, and just recently he had an ablation. And next, my husband's brother, who's suffering from cancer, his name is Tony. And we just found out he has lymphoma. And lastly is my cousin, Patsy, who is under hospice care for her lungs and breathing issues.
A lot of suffering. Let's pray. A lot of critical situations there, too. Annabelle, thanks for calling.
Yes.
We'll pray right now
for you.
You got it. But I lift up her husband, Robert, in particular, for complete recovery from that surgery, for her brother-in-law, Tony, with cancer, for her cousin in hospice. And I give you all those now approaching the moment of their death. And those who you'll be calling home expectedly and unexpectedly. And I just ask you, embrace this as a merciful Savior, that those souls can be with you for all eternity. And I come to you every day now, and I've been asking for divine healing, for that you can, with your divine touch, Lord, reverse the conditions that so many are crying out to you with now. If it's through medicine, if it's through treatment, if it's through technology, we thank you for that as well. But we give you the body with all the ailments and all the problems. I also give to you those who are stressed out now, suffering from anxiety, those who are depressed, those who are really in a difficult moment now, those battling addiction. I give you these souls as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, my Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. On us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Well, Jake is, of course, monitoring our Twitter feed. Please follow us, okay, there. Like us at Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. And post your intentions if you'd like every afternoon. Jake will bring what's coming in to us here for our spiritual family to pray for. And, of course, you can always email us as well. But, Jake, what are you seeing today?
Drew, I have to say this. I feel bad because there's so many important intentions coming in on Twitter, and we can't get to every single one of them. But just know that they're still remembered in our chaplet. But some of the ones I have come across are coming in from Kathy. She's praying for her aunt Margarita, who has cancer. The doctors have told her that, well, there's really not much else that can be done, but hey, let's hold out a big cup and pray for a miracle today. Carol is asking that we pray for her as she's recovering from a hysterectomy due to cancer, and she is asking that her pathology results come back negative for any spreading of the cancer. Melissa is lifting up Gert, who is suffering from severe depression, and at this time, the depression's getting even worse. We pray for all those with mental illness right now. And Karen is lifting up her two children, Chelsea and Johnny, asking the Lord that they would come back to the faith.
Well, lots of intentions. All right, let's lift them up. Everyone who's now tweeted us and everyone who's emailed us and everyone who's on hold, everyone who's now praying with us, we'll add them to this third decade. And Robin is praying in Arkansas, and I'll sneak her in as well. Hi, Robin. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for getting me on. I have two prayers of Thanksgiving that I wanted to pray. And one really big prayer that I always pray. So in Thanksgiving, the other day, I sent in a prayer petition because my house went on to the market to sell on Monday.
Wow.
I asked, you know, if it be God's will that my house would sell quickly. And I went under contract just a few hours ago.
Praise God. That's great. That's so awesome.
I know.
I'm so happy for you.
And thank you. And I also asked, you know, I put an offer in on the house on Saturday, and I asked that if it would be God's will that this would be the house that I would get, because I've put several offers in and been rejected on every offer that I've tried. And this house would be perfect because it's just around the corner from the house that my parents just bought.
Wow.
And awesome. So in my petition, I said, you know, Drew always says to hold out a big cup. So that was the cup that I held out. And God came back, and apparently that was the reason that I got all of those rejections, because they came back and they were like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and take this offer. The only thing we want to do is keep the stove in the refrigerator.
That's
like, if that's all you want, I'm good with that.
Robin, let's pray Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful for you, for your writing, for calling. Write that down again. Did you email me that? I think I had somebody also sent me an answered prayer that dealt with the sale of a home, but it was only a very short line or two. But let's pray Thanksgiving right now for your move.
I will absolutely make sure that I send that to you.
Yeah, please do that. And I want to share it. I want to talk to you more about it. Maybe we'll share some of our answered prayers here, but let me go. My producer's telling me I need to move on with the chapel. So, Lord, I give you a Robin right now, and I thank you for the way you answer prayers, for the way you shut doors. We don't understand why you shut certain doors, and Robin's such a wonderful testimony of the fact that you had something even better in store for her. So we thank you for that. I pray for all those now contemplating moves, trying to sell homes, trying to buy new homes, who are in the process of that transition. And we give you thanks, Lord, for the many blessings of our life as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
I'm going to pray for my colleague Jim, who's trying to sell or find a home to live in as well. So lift him up. Harriet, listening in Woodland, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. Okay. My intention is for my daughter. She's just been called back to work. She's been on furlough with the COVID, and during that time she had a new child, and who's now 1 year old, and she has a 3 year old, and her new salary though is reduced so much she can't afford daycare. So my prayer intention for a resolution to this problem, whatever that is, that God's will be done, that he take care of them, because they're just struggling, really struggling. So anyway, that's my prayer. And I also want to give a quick prayer of Thanksgiving, Drew. In October, I called you because my son had been killed in Virginia, and that's still an ongoing situation. The trial hasn't happened, but I have been able to deal with it through that prayer and the prayers of all the people. I've been able to deal with it. So I thank you for that.
You are an inspiration, Harry.
Thank God for that.
You're an inspiration. My heart goes out to you. It really does. And let's ask God now, as our spiritual family, to really help your daughter. Lord, I pray for all those who are struggling financially. I pray for those who've lost loved ones, as Harriet did, those who mourn, those who are the victims of tragedy and accident. And I just give you everyone of Harriet's intentions. And I implore your mercy, Father, as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and in the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our last call today comes from New Mexico. Bernadette's praying with us there. Good afternoon, Bernadette. Good to pray with you.
Good afternoon, Drew. I have a very wonderful friend, Mary. Met her in church, and she has been suffering with severe back pain and leg pain for the longest time. She has been expressing a lot of depression and loneliness, and last week she called me, but I was on my way out of town, and I couldn't go see her. Well, she called the ambulance, and when they came, she told them that she wanted to hurt herself.
Oh.
And so they took her in, and she was put into the psychiatric unit for, apparently, it's going to be coming home today, which is wonderful. And so we need to pray for her that she may find consolation in the Lord. She's a widow, 82 years old.
Wow.
And it's just very lonely. And I spend as much time with her as I possibly can, but I'm a widow myself.
Yeah, well, Bernadette, let's do this.
Just pray for her.
Let's pray. I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't voice any personal intentions as well. I want to lift up you. You sound like a wonderful friend. I pray for all those suffering from depression, those who want to harm themselves, those who mutilate or cut or, you know, Lord, or even having suicidal ideations in this moment. Just pray for those who are really struggling emotionally and psychologically now. I give you the needs, the wants, the desires, the prayers, the cries of all of your children as we turn to you with trust, confidence, and love in your mercy and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, under all your titles,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This presentation has been previously broadcast.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I do think it's important to take a look at our nation and the founding of this republic. I believe the hand of Providence has been on the founding of our republic. I don't think there's any doubt about it at all. I think we have a mission as a nation. I mean, you take a look at what we've contributed to the world at large, to civilization. You take a look at the inventions, the advancement of liberties, the aid, so many things. America is a great nation. We're in a time of turmoil now, but we are a great nation. As John Adams had pointed out, that if we want our democratic republic to succeed, then we have to be a virtuous people. We have to be. But there were instances during the early days of the country in the 1700s when battles were raging, that mysterious fogs descended that enabled Washington's troops to escape British traps and a whole lot of other things that took place. So what was the role of God's providence in the founding of our great country? Let's talk about that a little bit today. Of course, we are going to celebrate our nation's independence. It's July 4th, a day that It's a day that marks when the delegates of the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, stating that the 13 British colonies, they were no longer bound to the Crown of England. They were their own country. And then the Revolutionary War, of course, had already been going on for more than a year, and members of Congress decided that they'd just make it clear, you know, with their grievances against, you know, King George III. And they stated, look, we will no longer recognize your authority over us. And it would be another 7 years before the war ended, another six before the Constitution governing the new country would be ratified by the states. But the idea that would help to bring this new country to birth, they were articulated by men who were either Protestants or deists. In fact, these leaders held the Catholic Church in absolute contempt. I don't know if you know this. Did you know the very first act of the First Continental Congress was passing a resolution condemning Britain, not for taxation without representation, as you often hear, or for, you know, housing their soldiers in a colonist homes. It was to condemn the British approval of the Quebec Act. That was an act that allowed French Roman Catholics to have a permanent home in Quebec. And that resolution stated in part this, and let me just share it with you. I was reading it before the show. It says, nor can we suppress our astonishment that a British Parliament should ever consent to establish in a country a religion that has deluged your island with blood and superseded impiety, bigotry, persecution, murder, and rebellions through every part of the world. And yet, you know, so many of the ideas that are present both in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution are ideas that have a long history, and they date all the way back to some great saints like Augustine. So there's also influence, even though it's not acknowledged, from St. Thomas Aquinas, Thomas More, and many others. I'm invited to join us today just to give us some perspective on this conversation, and you're more than welcome to join us too, by Dr. Susan Hansen. She chairs the History Department at the University of Dallas. She's also an expert in British and American history, and it's good to have her with us today. And Doctor, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Drew. Thank you very much for having me on.
Let's start with the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence, and that was Charles Carroll. There was, in the very founding, too, a lot of anti-Catholicism, wasn't there, present in the colonies. How was it that he was allowed to sign that document?
Right. So, the United States of America was founded mostly by Protestant Christians who had fled the increasing power of the state over the church in England. They referred to themselves as nonconformists because they refused to conform their religious practice to the prescriptions of the king or the parliament. And so most of the American founders came from a broad spectrum of Protestant Christianity. A lot of them were Presbyterians, but there were also Baptists and Methodists, and even Roman Catholics like Charles Carroll of Carrollton. And there's been a lot of discussion about what exactly their conception of God was. You mentioned in your introduction that some of them were deists. But there are four references to God in the American Declaration of Independence. And all of those references indicate a belief in a transcendent God who's active in human history, not simply a kind of watchmaker God who, you know, sets things off at the beginning and leaves it to run on its own. The Declaration mentions God as nature's God, as the creator, as providence, as you also mentioned in your introduction, and as the supreme judge of the world. And so even though there was a broad spectrum of Christianity among the American founders, when they came to talk about God, they really did indicate a Christian understanding of God as creator, as providential guider of human history, and as the supreme judge of the world. And definitely George Washington's favorite way of speaking about God was as providence. He had a great belief in providence and a humility in making his judgments, as he used to put it, under God, right? That things depended, he always said that things depended on him under the providence of God, that we get that phrase from George Washington, under God. He kind of used it the way that we would often use the phrase, God willing. I'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right, or right. Si Dios quiere, as the as the Mexicans like to say, you know, to always put something in the perspective of, you know, if God wills it, right, this country will succeed. If God wills it, we will be victorious in this war. And that was very much the outlook of George Washington during the American Revolution.
Yeah, speaking of Washington, and again, I don't know how true this story is or not. There were claims that he had he was a prayerful man. He was praying in Valley Forge one winter, had this mystical vision, and it, you know, he claimed to see a woman. He often had women with beads praying for him. I don't know whether those women were Catholic and prayed the rosary, but he foresaw, you know, events that would unfold in the future of the Republic. Is there any currency to that, or the claims there?
I've definitely heard that story. I've read that story. I think of it as part of this charming way that the later immigrant waves would embrace the American founding in their own way. So, for example, Italian Americans coming over to America and realizing, oh, look, there's already an Italian American hero, Christopher Columbus, and they embraced him as their own and right. gave a significance to Christopher Columbus that, you know, perhaps he hadn't even had in the 1700s. And I think similarly, the Irish Americans, the German Americans, embraced George Washington and his profound religiosity as their own. It is definitely true that George Washington was ecumenical in his outlook. He had his stepson educated at Georgetown University by Jesuits. Once that was founded, after the American founding gave religious liberty to Catholics. And he was a great advocate of religion and morality as the great pillars of our happiness. And that's a famous phrase from his famous farewell address, which all students and college students used to read and study, when we had a lot of attention to the American founding in higher education. They would have known that when the American founders referred to our right to the pursuit of happiness, the American founders regarded religion and morality to be the great pillars of happiness. They didn't use that word happiness lightly. They understood that it was tied to the practice of virtue.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Susan Hansen. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones too. Our number here is 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the spiritual founding of our country. And, of course, we were outgunned as Catholics. I mean, as you point out, a lot of deists, a lot of Protestants at that particular time. What has happened since that time? Have we lost? I mean, we try to erase the fact that these men did have a belief in God. You know, and as a lot of people in the popular culture somehow try to say that that really was not the case. But as you point out, I mean, you can take a look at, Washington, Jefferson, you take a look at Adams, some of the writings, they all talk about God in one way or the other, as you've also pointed out. So what has happened? We also have this great misconception about what church and state are supposed to be and what that relationship is. What has happened in terms of this evolution of founding that, the Constitution is a living, breathing document now, and that God didn't, there wasn't based on a God. I look at the issues of life here too, Doctor, where, we talk about that famous line where everyone has an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, life is thrown out the door. nobody thinks about that. So we kind of pick and choose now how we want to see our history, don't we? And I wonder where we're going. I'm just curious as to what the founding fathers had envisioned for the future of this new, this great experiment known as America, and where we are right. headed now, and what the leadership views our future as today.
Right. Thank you very much for putting the question in exactly that those words, right? What happened, right? What has happened? And I think that people really need to understand when they're studying America that there is an America before and America after, that there's an America as envisioned by the American founders, an America that was embraced by many waves of Christian and Catholic immigrants, and that something has happened to the American regime in the past 100 years. I would recommend for people who want to kind of follow up on that before and after, if they're interested in following up on George Washington, there's a wonderful little book called The Political Philosophy of George Washington by Jeffrey Morrison. And then the work of Philip Vincent Munoz from Notre Dame. Philip Munoz has a lot of studies of Madison's understanding of religion and our regime, Jefferson's understanding of the First Amendment, and George Washington's understanding. So those two really help with kind of the original vision, right? And then Donald Drakeman has a wonderful book on religious liberty and the American Supreme Court, which really tracks what's happened to American jurisprudence with regard to religion since then. And I think a major turning point is the 1947 Everson case, which imports into American jurisprudence the idea of a wall of separation between church and state. The phrase "a wall of separation" appears nowhere in our founding documents, right? The First Amendment of the Bill of Rights protects the right to free exercise of religion, prohibits the establishment of religion by the federal government. And that First Amendment, you know, our first and greatest liberty, echoes the first article of the Magna Carta, which ensured the liberty of the church from the interference of the king in Great Britain. And both St. Thomas of Canterbury and St. Thomas More were martyred for defending the principle of the liberty of the church. So that idea, which is so central to the American project, that idea of that the secular authority and the religious authority each has its own sovereignty and jurisdiction is one of the central features of Western civilization, right? In fact, Benedict XVI pointed it out in an essay of his called The Spiritual Roots of Europe, points out that this distinguishing feature of the Christian West that distinguishes it from the ancient Greek polis, from the classical Roman Empire, from Byzantine theocracy, from Islamic regimes, right, is that the power of the king and the power of the priest are separate, right? That the secular and the religious authority each has its own sovereignty. So that's a very important idea in the American regime. But in the 20th century, I mean, really for the past 100 years, a small elite, by no means a majority, but a small elite in academia, media, Hollywood, in politics, has been pushing quite explicitly a Marxist agenda in politics and academia, and a gender agenda in culture that's undermining the family. America has always been a majority Christian country. It has one of the largest Catholic populations of any country on earth. You know, when you say what is the largest church in the United States of America, the largest single church, right? It is the Catholic Church. All of the different Protestant denominations all together, you know, are a large part of the American population. So we've always been a Christian country, but there is definitely an active elite minority, which has been driving, religion out of the public sphere. And religion has always been part of our public discourse, our public political discourse. And the idea that you can't bring up God will ultimately mean that we have to change our regime because the Declaration of Independence brings up God. So something very dramatic has occurred and is occurring around us in really trying to toss God out of our public speech, right? And you know, I think that we're really in a time of battle right now for the soul of America. And I think that devotion to the family, devotion to God, and patriotism, you know, all go together, and they also decline together, right? You get a decline in religion, a decline in patriotism, and a decline in fidelity to the family goes together.
Yeah. That's such a wonderful point. And I've been saying on the air here many times, that's why it really begins with us individually. You know, we need to work on our own virtue and our own holiness, and that'll ripple out to our families. And if we have strong, virtuous families, we can transform the country. And that is really the key. It saddens me a little bit, though, when I see where we've come. I mean, if you go back to the Declaration of Independence, I mean, one of the most beautiful lines is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. I mean, right there, that line speaks of their creator, you know, and clearly there was reference to God, as you point out, in many different places, and yet we live in a culture that wants to reject and strip him out. And as a result, we see the ripple effect of that, and we see the societal chaos and unrest. So I only have a moment or two left, Doctor. I would love to have your take. How do we fix the problem? I mean, where do we go from here? How do we make sure that America is that light on that shining light on the hill? How, you know, because we have led the world on so many different levels, and I really believe God has a mission for this country, and we're not just to lead the world militarily or economically, but I think spiritually as well. The citizens of America are virtuous people that uphold freedom, defend the defenseless. How do we make sure that we never lose that focus and continue to be that great nation that I think God intended us to be?
Well, I would put it kind of bluntly and briefly as hashtag defund the universities.
Wow.
And you know,
because we're a professor.
We
wow.
need to exercise, Christians need to exercise, right, their ability to found Christian universities, universities that teach the history of Western civilization, that teach a patriotism towards the founding principles of America. If the poverty-stricken Irish of the 19th century coming over from the Irish potato famine could fund a parochial school system network that crossed the entire continent, then Americans who have moved into the middle class, American Catholics who have moved into the middle class, have become CEOs of big companies, if they cannot endow Catholic universities, endow chairs of Western civilization, endow chairs devoted to the study of the Catholic intellectual tradition, endow chairs devoted to the principles of the American founding, then we're just giving up the intellectual life of our country and the intellectual leadership, which is coming out of, you know, the state universities, the Ivy League universities, is explicitly Marxist and is explicitly hostile to the Christian nuclear family. And so if we don't take back that intellectual leadership by funding universities and schools of our own, then I think we'll go down faster and faster. They're on the march.
And speaking of Marxism, do you see the current of that running in our nation right now? I know that, you know, many millennials were very open to Bernie Sanders and his socialistic agenda, to big government, to a lot of other things. But what about this Marxist ideology that some think kind of flows beneath the surface of so much of this looting and protesting that we're now seeing?
Right. So the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement are self-proclaimed Marxists. And they really want to frame our entire public discourse in terms of victimhood and oppression. They are no longer interested in the idea of a universal human nature, the universal dignity of all. They're no longer interested in the nature of men and women. They're, you know, explicitly opposed to the nuclear family. They see Christianity as Marx did, as the opiate of the masses. I think that when people call upon us at this time to examine our consciences about racism, to pray about racism, to reflect on racism, they need to realize that the people who are moving this into the center of our political discourse right now are doing so for their own political purposes, and that they are bringing with them in their wake a very powerful destruction of the family and the church. And so I think people need to be very wary of what is taking over our public discourse right now.
Well, it's so well said, and I am with you 1,000%. We have a moment or two. Let's grab a call before I run out of time. St. Louis, Missouri is on deck. James has been waiting to join the conversation. James, hi, you're on the air with Dr. Susan Hansen.
Hi, I was wondering by chance if you ever read George Washington, Sacred Fire, by chance?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Got it on my bookshelf, along with Washington's God by Michael Novak.
Yeah, that book, I never realized just how much, like that book proves that George Washington was definitely a devout Christian, you know. So anybody that says that the founding fathers were deist or, you know, they didn't really believe in God as much, it's just amazing how much of their vocabulary and their writings has so much scripture in it.
James, well said. I'm going to leave you at that point. Doctor, I'm going to give you the final thoughts. I have less than a minute for you, and I am grateful for your time.
All right. Well, I'm definitely a happy 4th of July weekend, and yep. I hope that everyone enjoys their 4th of July weekend with a lot of fireworks and hopefully with watching Saving Private Ryan once again.
Great, great advice. Always love talking to you. That's Dr. Susan Hansen. She chairs the history department at the University of Dallas and is an expert in British and American history. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's always good to take a look at life through the eyes of faith with you. Of course, celebrating our nation's independence and really the spiritual underpinning of this great country of ours. I have no doubt, as I said a few moments ago, that God's fingerprints are all over America, and you and I are chosen to live at this moment in time, just as our founding fathers lived at a very critical moment for the nation's future. So do you, and so do I. You know, we together can make a difference, too. Coming up in a moment, too, believe it or not, today is World UFO Day. Earlier in the week, I had the opportunity to speak to a wonderful doctor, wrote a book called American Cosmic, UFOs, Religion, and Technology. Dr. Pasulka will be stopping by again. That conversation was on fire. You know, a lot of people wanted to get in. We didn't have an opportunity to take everyone's calls. So we'll take a look at the role faith plays in this and so much more. In fact, Jake, you were telling me you were going to put up a poll on Twitter.
Yeah, let's do it, because I really want to hear people's opinion about this, because I know some people are convinced that, yeah, there are UFOs out there. Others not so convinced. So, yeah, we'll make that a question on our Twitter page. So you'll have the availability to vote then. Do you believe in the existence of a possible UFO? That's going to be on our Twitter very momentarily. So you can find us at Drew Mariani Show. Drew, another poll that I had put up yesterday, I thought we would mention. The question was, do you believe that the pandemic is now over? Because, of course, we had Dr. Bob Tabali on yesterday to give us an update on all things COVID. And yeah, a lot of people, it's kind of nice now to not have those masks on and all. So 54% of people said, yes, they believe that the pandemic is now behind us. 28% saying no. They still think that there's more to come with this pandemic. And then 18% of people said, well, they just don't know. They're not sure yet. So there's about 40 minutes left of time if you'd still like to vote on that poll. You're going to have to scroll down a little bit on our Twitter page, but you can still find it again at Drew Mariani Show. Cast your vote and give us your opinion.
Yeah, please follow us on Twitter and at Facebook. You know, like us, follow us. Important to do that at Drew Mariani Show. Facebook is the Drew Mariani Show. And Jake, you're going to put up a Twitter poll now on whether someone has seen a UFO or they believe in UFOs.
That would make for some interesting comments there. But no, just if people believe that there could be UFOs. If someone has seen a UFO, then actually call us, because I want to hear that story.
Oh, my God. Phones are going to light up. I actually had a friend. I went to an NBA game with him about a year or two ago. We were driving back, and we were just talking about all sorts of stuff. And it was the night sky was out, and it was crystal clear, and there were stars. I think a shooting star went by, and we got on the top. Topic of UFOs. I said, have you ever seen one? Do you believe in them? And he told me some story about being in a hot tub one night, you know. And
this is starting out well.
Yeah, got to be careful where we're going here. No, he was in his hot tub, and, you know, he was just staring at the night sky, enjoying, you know, that northern Wisconsin area where he was from. And he claimed he saw one. Now, you know, I find it hard to believe because, as Dr. Tom Jones, who's an astronaut, been to space many times, he was on the air with us earlier in the week. He says there's so much about the planet Earth that we don't know. You know, we have these balls of lightning, and there's, you know, the Aurora Borealis. There's a lot of different things that happen that, you know, if you didn't know better, you would think was supernatural or alien. But it's hard to dispute the fact that you've got competent observers, you know, like pilots for the Navy, you know, flying off the USS Nimitz. And they see what they describe as a tic tac with no propulsion, no wings, you know, that can descend to 80,000 feet, you know, in 2 seconds, can go below the ocean, that disappears. I mean, these are competent eyewitnesses, and we also have high end technology that has captured that. So, coming back in a moment or two, we'll take a look at that phenomenon. Some people say, hey, is it possible that it's interdimensional? You know, is it the ability to travel through wormholes? You know, is it a demonic deception? That's another thing. Dr. Pulsilka will be stopping by. Always love to have you pull up a chair and join this conversation. It's just fun, I think. It's always fascinating. I'll be back. We'll talk more right after this.